Hey, listeners. Recently, I ordered some new equipment for the C-Lab podcast. When a couple of weeks had passed, I still didn't have it. I hopped online to check the tracking details. Yep, for sure, my order made it from overseas to the U.S. within only a few days, but then it got stuck in a postal warehouse nearby for almost a week. And then it hit me. It's the classic last-mile problem. For product suppliers, the most expensive and complex part of getting a product delivered to your customer's doorstep isn't the hundreds of miles traveled at the beginning of its journey. It's that final mile. Sound familiar? That's because it's the same with customer education. We create expert learning content for customers and users, and then what? Just 5% or less of that is sometimes actually even viewed. Most everything we create is at the mercy of CSMs and our customer admins themselves. And if they don't proactively push this material along to our users, most of them aren't going to go looking for it on their own. So we're excited to share that Brainstorm is solving this last mile problem for customer education teams. Brainstorm enables you to empower your customers with turnkey end user training campaigns, including adaptive learning flows, events, emails, surveys, and more. Customers just have to hit go. Learn more and get a free 90-day trial today when you visit brainstorminc.com/CELab. Okay, welcome everybody to C-Lab, the customer education laboratory, where as you know, we're exploring how to build customer education programs. We're experimenting with new approaches, which this conversation is going to be one of them. And as we always say, we exterminate those myths and bad advice that you might get from various different sources that stop our growth, not just as individuals, but as teams, as programs, dentist tracks. So I'm Dave Darrington, and Ashley, please introduce yourself, say hi, and then we'll get into our fun and start off the show.
Hello, I'm Ashley DeKerligand. I am the Director of Customer Education and CX Enablement at QuickBase right now. I have been in the customer education field for about 12 years.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm really thankful. I'm really excited to talk to you today. I'm going to not bury the lead, and we'll get to that in a minute. But as we always do, we do our International Day Of just to warm up on the show. And today, I always obscure the date. You don't know what date it is. You have to go look it up from what we say. So we're both looking at the daysoftheyear.com site. We're not going to put it on screen. We're just going to talk through. What's your pick of the day? Then I'll go with mine.
My pick is quirky country song titles. And I chose that because my mother's family is from North Carolina. And so we listened to a lot of country growing up. And the song that my grandmother used to listen to is a song by Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn called "You're the Reason Our Kids Are Ugly."
Oh, my God. Now I want to hear their song.
You'll have to look it up. It's actually hilarious.
That is hilarious. I love that one. Mine is kind of music related as well, because we're all fans of music here at C-Lab. World Theater Day. And I was thinking about that and I go, I'm in Seattle. I went this year to, maybe it was December, Fifth Avenue Theater, which is really great, kind of smallish place. And I saw Elf, the musical.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know what to expect, but they captured the essence of Elf on stage. It was hilarious. So definitely go next year if you're
looking for a Hollywood movie. One of my favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah, but to see it on stage, it made a new dimension of it. It was wonderful. Oh, all right. Absolutely. Okay, so I want to frame up what we're going to talk about today, because this is an interesting conversation we're going to have. We pre-gamed, can't talk, actually yesterday a little bit, and we got both excited about your journey. I've wanted to talk to you about your program for a long time. You know, we've all been in orbit, and you actually went through a workshop I did four years ago, I think you said. What we're talking about today is this intersection of a couple different things. One is, hey, we've got to build customer education programs, which, you know, you have at QuickBase, one that you've been working on for a long time, and you made progress, good stuff. And we want to be honest with ourselves and with all of you in the audience about the tools and the methods that we're using to get there, meaning we're going to bridge around, a technology and some software you might not hear a lot about. You've been, like you said, you've been doing this for years. You're in the market for 12 years. And I think you've come up with, from conversations we have, something that's genuinely instructive
for anybody that's trying to move from running a like just a training team to being a strategic partner, right? That seat at the table. And again, this isn't a sponsored episode. We are going to be talking about a platform that we think is really interesting and that deserves more press. So what you're going to hear from audience is more of that seasoned practitioner who's evaluated. What did you evaluate? 13 different platforms in your,
yes,
in your assessment? Something you got to talk about all this. I'm just setting this up. And you thought through a lot of internal resistance and you landed on a solution. And I think that journey merits a lot of like us elevating that and talking about the breadth of it. Because then it is the challenge with leadership, then it is finding the right tools, and it is the strategy. So, and then you've come up with a kind of a methodology around all of this. So from that, welcome to C-Lab, and let's jump into talking about you, your background, and your program that you have at QuickBase. So you've got the floor.
Sure. So background, I always wanted to be a teacher. My undergraduate degree is actually in Spanish, languages and literature. Mm. I'm not fluent, so don't ask me to speak it, but this was 20 years ago. And then I realized that I was going to struggle with salary-wise if I became a teacher for children. So I ended up working at Newport News Shipbuilding in an apprenticeship program. Ooh. It was a great experience. Definitely a culture shock after college for 4 years, because I got the opportunity to go to welding school and learn how to do dimensional inspections, which was really neat. But what I loved about it was being in apprentice school and learning on the job and performance objectives that we were required to do. It was very different from college, where you're sitting in a classroom most of the time. And so I just wanted to become a trainer. And so the software that I was using at the shipyard, I decided to apply for that company when they had a product trainer position open. And I became a product trainer, traveled around for 9 years for Hexagon Manufacturing. It was a wonderful job. I got to experience a lot of really cool stuff in the aerospace industry, shipbuilding, automotive, and became a manager while I was there. And then I think my last 2 years that I was there, before I came to QuickBase in July of 2022, I finished up my master's degree in instructional design. And now I'm a director leading a team of 12, which has been great. So.
That is a really cool journey because, to connect between us and why I think we're very similar in that, you have the love for teaching and learning. And I came from manufacturing as well, where I did a lot of that stuff. And there's such, I think you just have a unique understanding of how practical learning, you're like, here we are in software, but when you're in manufacturing, you've got to learn to do something and it has to be done right. And you have to go through all that performance evaluation. Otherwise, somebody gets hurt, right? Here it's weirder because you kind of got to do the same things, but what's on the other end of that? You want to have a developer, an administrator, something really using platform. So that's a great bridge. And a team of 12, that's a really, with instructional designers, trainers, and all that?
I have instructional designers in both India and the US, and I have trainers, both internal enablement trainers and customer-facing trainers as well. And we have a pretty robust certification program, so I have a certification specialist too.
Okay, here's where I want you to talk a little bit more about, remind me more about what QuickBase is about, high level-ish, a technical platform. And what are all the aspects of your program that you have within your remit now? Thinking of long demand and everything else.
Sure. So QuickBase, people may think of QuickBooks when they think of QuickBase. So QuickBase is now about 20 years old. I believe they broke away from Intuit to kind of target more like a larger enterprise companies. And it's an app building platform. Now we're an AI powered app building platform, which has been really cool to see how much easier it's made to build apps and to maintain those apps within QuickBase. And we have customers in all different types of industries, healthcare, global delivery services. We tap into the manufacturing and construction verticals. You name it, you can do it really in QuickBase. I know that sounds like a sales pitch, but it truly is a great platform.
That's amazing. And okay, so now here you are today. You've done some really important stuff. And one of the things that I thought was important from our conversation was about sales reps. So here you've landed in this place, unique place with the way that your style and your content is developing, and you've got others evangelizing for you.
Yes. So with salespeople, what I ended up doing was just asking them if I could join their customer calls. Thankfully, they, because I noticed too that they had the talk track I was hearing when I was listening in Gong to their calls. And I don't blame them for this, was that they were telling the customers, yeah, we've got training. It's optional. You don't have to take it. You know, they weren't really promoting it. And mainly it's because I don't think that they really thought it was a great, you know, it was a great learning pathway. It wasn't easy to navigate in the platform we were using. And we didn't really have the option of doing blended learning and like just supporting all different types of styles. So it was either like you're going to pay for private live training or you're going to just have all on-demand training. It was, you know, I've always had SKUs to be sold, but very low attach rates on them. I didn't have any really real data-backed positioning. Education was just kind of seen as a nice to have. And so I worked very hard with the sales leaders across all segments to become a strategic ally with them and to jump on customer calls and really explain the importance of customer education and QuickBase University there. And so now the position that we're in is that customer education is core to our expansion strategy, to net new training for onboarding, because one of our number one drivers of churn has been failure to launch. They're unable to build an app within the first 60 to 90 days. So now we have these specific learning paths that sales can just very quickly put people on when they're new to the platform. And it's just been a game changer.
So, excuse me. So there's a lot in there and unpacked, and we've organized how we're going to work through this. So again, I want to ask you a little bit more about the application itself. So it's fairly technical. I know you're going to have upcoming features and stuff that make it less complicated for noobs, but you're working with kind of DevOps people or developers that want to take an app and put that app on a mobile platform or some or desktop or anything.
Yeah, the great thing about QuickBase is I know that it used to be marketed as low code, no code, but now you don't have to use any code to build an app. And now with the addition of AI in there, you can pretty much just prompt it and it will build an app for you, which is great. And it's evolving every day. But we've typically catered in the past to app builders. And I know before I even started at QuickBase 4 years ago, I think there was some coding that was involved. Became a little bit simpler. So kind of when I entered was when I started structuring the training for citizen developers and really people that weren't programmers, didn't have that type of background, but that's how we started tackling the learning paths. And I quickly realized the app builder certification took too long to get. It kind of was demotivating to people because it took about 8 weeks of practice and building in there. So I ended up creating, I realized that was a blocker really to being able to build an app. Because it killed their motivation. Yeah. So what we did was teach them actually outside of QuickBase, we just taught them conceptual skills, like how to plan an app, how you do a requirements discovery in a solution design document, what is a relational database. And so that's been really successful as far as us being able to have a full comprehensive certification program.
That's amazing. And then to bridge to our next discussion point, it's more like you've become not an order taker, right? You're now a trusted advisor, a learning coach, somebody that's really helping solve the strategic problems that we've got, which I love this. I love this space because actually this is where many of us get. We have to take a company that's like, I don't know how to teach this. And let's get into the next point of this of how you got to where you are, because you've talked about your own methodology and your approach that's working for you. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, I think you said about action mapping. Oh, yeah. I think that's a really good place. You've just talked about this at a presentation. Let's break into the subject. Tell me more about your methodology.
So when I was in graduate school, I noticed in my cohort, there was, I think, maybe 8 of us. I was the only one who was working at a SaaS company. All the others were either creating military curriculum or they were working K-12 or higher ed, where the curricula doesn't change much. And so a lot of the frameworks, ADDIE, even successive approximation, a lot of those, I was like, we have continuous releases. I don't have time to build out a whole, you know, course based on the ADDIE framework. So I was looking for something that would help me be more agile. And so I talked to my professor, who happened to be a director at it was like a chain of restaurants that they own, and she creates onboarding for employees. And she said, well, have you ever heard of action mapping? And it's going to be in one of your future courses. And it's a book by Kathy Moore called Map It. She created the framework, and it's a performance focused design method that starts with a business problem and not a course. Mm-hmm. So when you said being an order taker, it's like I will receive these enablement requests all the time. Like, hey, we've got a new feature coming out. I need you to create training on it. I need a course on this. And what action mapping really forces me to do and scope out with the SMEs is be like, okay, well, instead of me asking what do people need to know and just dumping information at them, I would ask them now, well, what do they need to do? And then we diagnose why they aren't doing it before you start building anything. So there's a four-step process with action mapping. And the first part of it is you need to define a measurable business goal. And so it's not a training goal, though. It's a business goal. Like, what are the business outcomes you want for either QuickBase or for our customer? Typically, I approach it where we're looking at what is this going to help us help our customer do to be successful? From there, you list what people need to do on the job to reach that. And they have to be observable actions only. So let's say that if you have like our AI smart builder, we have, that's how you can just prompt something and it can build an app. Mm-hmm. Existing customers, that we have to teach them. We also have to teach net new customers. So existing customers, change management is already always a piece of that. And so I set a business goal of increasing QuickBase app creation by new users by about 40% within 90 days of onboarding. So that's our business goal. The action that they need to do is they need to use AI Smart Builder to build and deploy a working app. Then we decide or discover why they aren't doing it. So this is the part that's really important for me to scope out with product, with marketing, with sales, is figuring out what are the blockers to adoption for that. And you categorize each blocker that you list into four different categories. One category is environment. And that category is, okay, let's say that a blocker to adoption is maybe the AI Smart Builder feature is buried under like three different menus. So the users won't encounter it naturally. So that's when, instead of me creating training to show people how to get into those three different menus to find the button, I can go back to product and say, hey, we need you to fix where this is so we can surface Smart Builder easier. There's another category, so knowledge. So let's say that the users don't know that the Smart Builder exists, or they don't understand that it can generate an app from just a plain English prompt. So if that's the blocker, that would be put under knowledge, and then we would create like a short micro learning or something like, here's what Smart Builder can do for you in 60 seconds. And then there's two other categories. Yeah, the third one is skill, and that's where users know about it, but they write poor prompts, and so they get really unhelpful results. So that would be like where we'd have a practice lab or some sort of webinar with hands-on training. Maybe they're in a sandbox with prompt examples and guided feedback. And then finally, there's motivation. Users default to manual building because it feels safer, or maybe they don't trust AI. So then that's change management training. And that could involve maybe the marketing team or someone else. So it really is, it creates a great unified content management strategy that we can use across GTM to determine what type of content to create.
That is a really good way of looking at it. I got to go back through. I've got the book on my shelf. Go back and I think a lot of us have kind of internalized some of that now. And maybe this is the thread that you're helping to pull through here, where you've gone to school for instructional design and teaching and stuff. And something you said, if I backed up earlier, you were talking about in other fields where things don't change very much. And that's why this kind of approach is, you're iterating. When you said, oh, this needs to be something that product, that's not really how we've done training in the past. Excuse me. It's more been like, go build a training and you go do it. And you don't worry about that product team. You don't have any leverage of them. They're not going to do it anyway. Right. But now you flip the tables so that you go, well, you've done the strategic analysis. I don't want to add any more to it, but that, I think we'll get to more things to unpack as we go. The biggest point is that this shouldn't be a surprise. This book's been out for a while. Kathy Moore's great. What did you learn at SEDMA recently when you asked about how others in our community are using this kind of approach?
Yeah, I asked a few questions to the group. I think I had about 60 people in my session. One of those questions was, though, how many people use action mapping? Because I see people posting about it on LinkedIn, but it's not nearly as much as I see like the SAM framework or ADDIE even. Right. And so it's just always made me wonder why more people aren't using it. And so only about 4 or 5 people raised their hand, and that was just pretty jarring. And I'm glad that I kind of built that into my presentation, though, that I could talk about what action mapping was. And after the session, I had someone come up that was a customer ed manager, and she said, it was like you were in my brain the whole time. Like, this is such a great way to, you know, work toward a solution and not just be an order taker or, you know, receiving requests for creating information dumps.
Right. Yeah, it's a much better way in. Okay. Let's step away from that now. Now you've got a different model for how you're approaching developing content that is a lot more strategic. What I want to get you talking about next is, okay, now you've changed things around and you're using different kinds of tools and systems. And you've got a great story in here. I know this is a company that I've met, Rainstorm, and work with, and really appreciate this. I think it's kind of an undervalued or underdiscovered product.
Yep.
So can you tell your story here about one of the solutions that you've brought to the table? This is really exciting.
This episode is brought to you by Parda.io. Parda is a next generation authoring platform built for customer education. Okta, Bersanio, Miro, Writer, and many other fast-growing companies rely on Parda to stay in sync with product updates, build customer learning experiences, and manage content at scale. With Figma-style collaboration, granular branding, built-in localization, an AI assistant, seamless skill jar integration, and more, Parda lets you scale customer education the way it should be: fast, flexible, and collaborative. To learn more, check them out today at parta.io/clab. That's parta.io/celab.
Historical context, when I came into QuickBase, they were already using one of like the big top 10 most popular learning management systems. And so they had a pretty robust catalog built up using SCORM files. They had certification already that was embedded via SCORM files into this platform. And I thought everything looked great. When I was interviewing, I thought, this is a mature customer education program. I was really being brought in more as to kind of pump up the billable services for live training and get those attach rates up for live training, and to increase our billable utilization of our trainers. So I was really focused on live training first. So I didn't think too much about on-demand training. Meanwhile, though, I noticed as I was working on the live training and kind of focusing on-demand, I noticed that our month over month, we were losing monthly active users on our platform. And we were getting a lot of complaints. And that's also when I realized that, okay, well, that makes sense why sales and CSMs are not promoting our training on QuickBase University for on-demand, and they're just trying to sell live training. Live training doesn't work for everybody. I mean, we have people who are spending millions of dollars, but then we've got people who are, you know, are 80% of our customers are lower spend. So we need the on-demand training content. I started listening to customers. I started joining calls, trying to figure out really what the problem is. Is it the content? Is it, you know, the way that we're delivering the content? Like, what's going on? And I had a CSM approach me, and she said, hey, I have a customer who wants to talk to you, and they're from JJ Keller, and that's one of our large customers. And she wanted to give you some feedback on QuickBase University. And so I got nervous, but I joined the call. And she was as sweet as she could be. But she said, Ashley, your QuickBase University is really terrible. Like, the navigation's bad. It's long form courses, even like in there. And she goes, if I have to go into a course, I have to know, you know, if I need some just in time training, I have to know what course had that information in it and then go search for it. And she was like, we're using this platform called Brainstorm. And I said, I've never heard of that before. And she said, well, we're using it for internal enablement, but I think you could use it for customer ed. Will you please just check it out? And because they were a customer, I said, absolutely. So I did get connected with Brainstorm. What they showed me immediately, I just kept looking and thinking, well, they're not, I've never heard of them before. They are not on the Gardner MQ. They're not, you know, I thought it was just a little boutique platform, but they're not. I mean, they had a ton of training out there and many, many customers. They're a Microsoft Partner of the Year, actually. And Casey Trujillo, I'll give him a shout out. He's a senior vice president of sales at Brainstorm. He said, well, on my demo, he said, let me just give you a license for you to try it out. And my immediate thought was, no one that's ever given me a demo of an LMS platform before has ever allowed me to just have a license and run with it. And so I'm thinking in my head, I said, oh, I'm going to go break this program and then let them know, hey, like, this is not worth my time. I get into the platform, myself and Jay Urquhart, who I've worked with for 17 years. He is my lead instructional designer. We worked together even back to the shipyard, but he and I get in there and we were like blown away, mainly at just how simple it was, how simple it is to create a platform, how simple it is to upload assets, how simple it is to create a course. And we didn't even have to take the training that they offered. I have never had that happen before on an LMS platform again. But I still ghosted them for a few months because I was just thinking, they're just not, you know, it's, they're not on the top 10 LMS list. Yeah. I ended up coming back as I was talking to more and more customers, and they were telling me their needs, particularly our large enterprise customers. They were saying, I mean, the on-demand training is nice, but we really need to have governance and administrative control over what our, I need to be able to see what our employees are taking. They're not able to go into our production realms for QuickBase and build an app in a production realm until they're certified using your certification program. So we have to make sure. And so what we were doing was spending hours every single week downloading spreadsheets from our LMS and sending them off to these enterprise companies. That was painful in and of itself. And so, I mean, also I had been going through, you know, two rounds here of rifts, small rifts that impacted my team. And so I started evaluating, I ended up evaluating the 12 or 13 platforms. Most of them were the Big Ten. And, you know, many of them, if you're, if you work at a company that's owned by a private equity firm, they want you to use what's in their portfolio. So the only one that came in first for every single requirement that I needed was Brainstorm. And wow. I've never had that happen before. And it just reminded me of an article that Maria Manning Chapman at TSAIA had written several years ago. Apologize, I have a dog. At TSAA had written several years ago about...
I want to be on the show. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I know. I actually have two dogs. It was about how 90% of customer education leaders are unhappy with their LMS platform. And so I was like, okay, I'm not the only one. So maybe I should take what I thought was a risk at the time and step out, branch out, and give Brainstorm a shot. Mm-hmm. So it took 2 years to really secure a contract and for me to get executive buy-in. I've learned a lot of lessons. You know, since then, there's a lot of things I do differently now, but I was able to finally get, after 2 years, C-suite buy-in on it, and I was able to migrate to Brainstorm. And we've been on the platform for 9 months now, and I have never looked back.
Wow. Okay. I want to talk more about the executive buy-in piece, but can I ask you a couple questions about Brainstorm, which are more... So I've had some exposure to them too. We had a pilot at Atlassian, and it was fabulous to see, because what was it? Todd and I did a podcast together on their brand about the two hump problem. And if any of you want to listen to that, go look it up. This just emerged out of a conversation. The problem is, yeah, we can all get a conventional LMS and do all the things. Mm-hmm. It's a known thing. We all do it. But there's a space that you've found where Brainstorm is not like a conventional LMS. It kind of is a conduit or a bridge. And I know Atlassian, we were talking about the concept of, I want portals, a portal for each customer, do exactly what you're talking about. Self-service, be able to add and curate. But we don't offer that. And I have actually caught myself, I was thinking before we talked today, in the moments of, well, I need that. I need to be able to give a customer more. And it becomes contentious because the customer was like, well, darn it, just give me all your SCORM files and I'll just redo it. And when I'm like, yes. I can't do that because there's this whole customer success data thing in the middle. But with this kind of approach, and I think more LMSs need to do this, but you're able to do that. And I kind of want you to talk more about the simplicity, but it felt so easy because, oh, well, like add this, move this around. It's curated. There's controls and governance, but there's also a really good data. And it kind of blew my mind to see the stats that were coming out, like how much adoption of the content. Because you got to think, yeah, some customers we had at Atlassian, many customers had an instance of Brainstorm already, and they were asking us for our content to be in that.
Wow.
Oh. All right. So I'm validating you. I'm really think more people should check this out. And for us, it was a both and. We had both, mm-hmm, right? Tell me more about the executive experience, because I think that there could be some lessons to help our peers, and no, me included.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, one thing that I really struggled with too is like, I think that most tech companies right now, like including Quickbase, we struggle with, you know, churn. One driver of churn is from the CIO because they have such a stressful job. Mm-hmm. Many times there's hundreds of products that they have to oversee, and they probably half of them, they weren't even included in the implementation. And so they don't even know if these platforms are secure. So I really had a lot, you know, my biggest blocker, because it was rightfully so and understood from his standpoint, was our chief information officer. And he, you know, he said, I know what you're trying to do. I know that you're an expert in your field. He was just like, but this seems like a huge risk to take when we already have, you know, and across the whole portfolio, they're using the same LMS that you are. And so when I showed him the results of what all these customers were saying, and I had our gong calls recorded, and the customers were not only telling me about the importance of governance and security, I really use that as like a lever or leverage to the CIO to say, look, the customers want more security. And I said, what our current LMS offers and what most traditional LMSs offer is not a way to share a portal between you and the customer so that it's a shared partnership where the customer is really in the driver's seat, but you're helping to facilitate and helping them on their learning journey. It's where, you know, the integration that the LMS platform told me, my traditional one that I was using was, oh, well, you can integrate with the customer's LMS, just like you said earlier. You can send over all of the information over to them. And I'm like, well, what about when it's time to update? Or what if, you know, I really want to be able to have my trainers and my experts in our SMEs be able to go and look at the content that the customers are using and make sure that it's up to date or see if they could even help, you know. And several of our customers as well, they said, hey, your content is great, but it's generic. And like, you know, so what they wanted to do was be able to create their own app-specific training content to supplement with ours. And that has been one of the best pieces of our private portals that we're using with these larger enterprise customers, because I'm able to say, like, for example, if we have a course on learning as an end user, you need to learn how to use and manage a dashboard. So we have the training in all micro learnings that would say, what is a dashboard generically? And then they're going to go as a customer and use their actual app and their dashboard and be like, now here's what this dashboard looks like that you're being trained on. And so it really creates this transparent partnership between ourselves and our customers. And it's just strengthened our relationship so much.
Yeah. I wasn't going to interrupt, but I'll take the opportunity. That is amazing, because what you're saying is, not only have you become less, you know, like more strategic internally, you're now bridging to the customer and being seen as a part of the customer fabric, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like, this is the holy grail of customer education. The fact that you went out and you talked to people, you got customer input, and now you have a system that bridges that. I think this is where we're heading, because yeah, a standard LMS is a standard LMS. We're going to use our Articulate, SCORM, all this kind of stuff. But now we're getting into a space where the stories you're telling, and I'm thinking to the experiences that I have, that through line is, oh, Ashley, I'm Dave at Vast, and we're using Quickbase for something, and I have hundreds of people at Vast that need to learn, but then they're all different.
Right.
I was talking with my partner, enablement manager, the other day, who's my peer, and he goes, yeah, we need to make things custom for different people and do this and this. And we're not set up for that right now. We're just
see. Not scalable.
not. And you don't see that. And a lot of people come in, and I've had this almost every time when I started a company, I just get handed a platform. That's it. It's not like I wheel around it. What I also love about Brainstorm, and it's really important to say for this discussion, is Brainstorm can be a full LMS like you've got it implemented, but it also can be complementary. So I really want to see more vendors talk about this complementarity of tooling, because this is a great one.
Do you mean like our tech stack with QuickBase University as far as a certification platform, or?
Yeah, well, you're going to have other tools. I mean, of course, you Certiverse or some, there's so many out there. But for the learning, it's bridging to that customer and making it really easy for the customer to help curate and be part of the experience. So they're naturally more connected, and the adoption is out of control.
Yeah. And one of the best parts too, when I talk about a transparent relationship between myself and the customer, is when I proposed this to the last LMS that I was on and said, hey, can we create private portals like this? They said, well, then your customer would be able to see all of the survey feedback that they fill out and see if your courses are terrible and they don't like them or whatever. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? You know, that's a good thing. And now they can. So like I have an MPS questions that I ask at the end of every course. And for each company with the private portal, it's something that we now factor into like QBRs or check-ins with CSMs, where they're getting feedback actively from customers. And we're able to look at the survey feedback and talk to the customer about it. They just feel much more heard than they did before. It's not like we're just putting content out there that's for, you know, I mean, it is generic and can be used for everyone, but when we use it with the private portal, it really has strengthened the value of what CSMs and salespeople can talk to their customers about, particularly those enterprise customers with private portals.
Yeah, I did have one technical question, which is, when you talk about a private portal, the way that I've used Brainstorm in the past has been the customer has an environment and I can connect into it. Is the private portal different in that it's stood up on your brand and then people are connecting to it, but then can curate it because it's their version or instance, so to speak?
Well, so we have like our common portal that anyone can access. They just need to have like a builder account or an actual account, you know, with QuickBase. But they can access it for free through a builder account, which is like a trial account. And the private portals, though, are actually branded to the customer. So if we have, let's say we have Dave Darrington's chicken farm, then you would have like a branded portal for Dave Darrington's chicken farm. But you would have content on there that would be specific to you, and we would be able to push whatever content we wanted to. And we can also gatekeep whatever content we didn't want to put out there. So like we have multiple products across our portfolio. We have two primary ones right now, QuickBase, but we also have FastField as well. We have a lot of customers that are just QuickBase standalone customers, and maybe they're not ready for FastField, or they've already said, like, we don't want FastField. We don't want our employees to see the FastField content for whatever reason. You know, it's not something that we're thrilled about. Of course, we want to cross-sell, but we're really meeting the customer where they're at, and then we can position that content on QuickBase University when they're ready and not really just keep trying to do a sales pitch to them. So it's almost like a marketing tool internally for them, where our champions at our customers, they kind of become their own internal champion, where they're promoting content, they're assigning the content and sending people through these learning paths, and it's not QuickBase.
That is cool. That is really cool. That whole private portal strategy is powerful. That's why, again, I wanted to talk to you. I was talking with Casey. He's like, yeah, I got to talk to Ashley. He's like, she's going to be on. We're going to do this. It's going to be amazing. And yeah, to the audience, the thing that I'm really trying to say is take a look at this, because what you're saying, I've not seen happen. We've timidly walked around it with private portals and stuff, but this is really cool.
And it's even more important now because, and I've noticed this, as we start adding in more and more AI features, I really need to rethink all of our learning paths, all of our certification programs. I mean, vibe coding is becoming a thing. Every day when I look in QuickBase, the AI features that we have improved and evolved so much. It's just going so fast that I need to change my entire strategy. So what I'm going to be focusing on less is less of the app building and the expert knowledge you might need to have to build, because we'll be able to lean on the AI features in QuickBase. So now I'm going to change my strategy over to, okay, let's focus on the customer specific use cases. We can help them build out content. I'm able to now sell like instructional design services for our customers, teach them how to, you know, we're creating one of my employees, a senior designer, I'll give her a shout out, Sarah Rowland. She's amazing. She created an action mapping canvas, like template for us. And that's internal. And we use it to scope out all of our work for each session. But every time that a customer, especially in a private portal, builds an app, we're able to now take that action mapping framework and teach them how to essentially be instructional designers, like ID light, you know. So we're talking to them about what are the blockers, and you can go meet with your customers who are your end users after you build an app. And you can ask them, like, what are all the blockers to this? And let's figure out what I can create. So they can create internal support ticket deflection. They can maybe, you know, the app builder needs to redo something in the platform based on that feedback. So action mapping plus the private portals have just been like a game changer for us.
That is so cool, Ashley, because you're kind of meta in that you're not just doing it for your company, but now you're by proxy extending the motif to these app designers who are going to be selling this and distributing their apps to other people. And you're pulling through the good, bless your soul, because you're doing the good work of customer education internally, right? You can do things fast. You're getting it to the customer quickly. You're keeping them. It's all the manifesto stuff that we all put together. And another point that we can talk about before we start wrapping up would be, you're alluding not just to the customer's participation, but a democratization of content creation too, are you not?
Right. Yeah.
That's like, you've talked about this a lot, but now you can pull in a CSM or a TAM or somebody from your own company. Like, I have this problem right now, Ashley, which it's not a problem. It's the challenge we all have. Hey, Joan, you've got this thing and you need to train on it, or you get to training, but it's so hard because how does that person who's a subject matter expert quickly design and get content to me so that I can, we all are starting to become, which is kind of my thinking, right? It's scary time for us right now, because particularly if you're an instructional designer or training and you're just looking at pumping out content all the time, look, AI is going to be able to do that well. And I'm using it more as an assist. And I'm also using that to level up my role so that I'm doing like you are doing. You're a strategist, you're a solution person, you're kind of a, you know, a solutions architect in a way, helping with the education part of it. And your value and your team's value has gone way up, because now you're the vanguard of solving customer problems around how do I learn, how do I adopt and grow, which is always so complicated.
Right. And ultimately, too, I mean, we have professional services. So we have a professional services team. There's always going to be customers who they don't want to build their own apps. They don't want to maintain them. So they're going to purchase professional services through our technical consultants and solution architects. But I need, you know, it's not scalable for every app that we build for professional services for my little team to build end user training on that app. So, and it's also, you know, it's not that difficult when you use action mapping. I don't feel that instructional design is a skill set that should be kept behind a gate. If you do have that skill set, I think that we are all educators, even salespeople. They're answering questions with customers, TAMs, technical account managers, CSMs, and Brainstorm is a platform that's simple enough to use because you don't need to have LMS experience. You just need to know how to upload an asset and drag and drop it into a simple flow. Like, that's it. And so I'm able to have CSMs and salespeople and TAMs in the platform. They're able to get information right to their customer when they need it. We're not, you know, pummeling them with emails. It's their private portal that they can use. Mm-hmm. And everyone kind of becomes an educator. And I know that that kind of can be scary for us in the customer education field, but it's just like with AI. If we're afraid to use AI, if we don't, you know, use it and evolve with it, that's what I think is really going to cost us our jobs. Not staying away from it because we're worried it's going to take our job away. But I think it's the same principle with these private portals and with being transparent with your customer and really you and your customer being in the driver's seat together of their own learning journey.
Oh my God. I love this so much because that's actually one of the experiences I've talked about elsewhere, a concept of kind of a learning solution specialist, which is a hybrid customer education and customer success manager in one. And you're naturally doing it because now you have this flywheel of customer interaction and engagements where I can't tell you, I can't express how much I'm excited about what's happening today. And this is your experience is a really good validation of that. It's not just come in and you build an academy and go, right? That's the old school, right?
Right.
Design standards and Addy and Sam. I won't say it out loud, but I'll say F that because we don't have time. We have to move fast. And that's where being precious about content creation and policy and all that kind of stuff is crushing us. We have to evolve. And this is the way that we'll get there. So Ashley, the last thing I really want to talk to you about is talk about this opportunity space that you have. You'd mentioned your own kind of playbook or model. Mm-hmm. Just broadly, where are you going to go with that? This thinking? You've already established the fact that you're using action mapping in that client loop. I think this is something, if you have anything else to share, like on paper with our audience to help them, well, go read the book, but what are the practical action steps that you do? Things like that. What kind of playbook would you offer to help people in our space really get this?
Sure. Yeah. I'm actually working on a pretty simple playbook. I think that what I never had really nailed down before I could have a proper playbook because, there's a lot of customer education companies that don't have customer education programs. Maybe they're looking to hire just like one person. So you're going to be the manager, the program manager, the instructional designer, the trainer, everything. And so you do not have time to develop, what does it take? Like 80 hours to develop 1 hour of e-learning content. You can't do these like Academy Award worthy videos. You need to be quick and scrappy. And so the two things that work the best for that are micro learnings through action mapping and then brainstorm because it's just so simple to use. And so that's where the playbook that I'm writing is, and that's really the only way that I believe you can truly get a customer education program or some semblance of it stood up within 90 days is with those two pieces of it, action mapping and brainstorm.
That's cool.
That is the playbook that I'm working on now. And it involves, it includes an assessment too of like, where is your program at? How mature are they? Are you starting from scratch? And the good thing to know though, is that if you are a new customer education leader or you're somebody at a company, like maybe in customer success, that's thinking about just creating some sort of a customer ed program or a little university, you probably have a ton of content already out there. Videos that you've recorded, webinars you can chop up, things like that. Just start looking at, what are the primary, you can even start with the main support tickets that and see what those biggest blockers to adoption are for onboarding for a new customer. And then just start creating, micro learnings with that and delivering them through a platform, hopefully brainstorm.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I don't want you to give up all your secret sauce, but that's, and just you capture the core of what we do. It's really like a flywheel. It's a loop. You have to have a platform of distribution, but you also have to be strategic and get to the stuff that really matters. And you don't have time to blow out a whole, live curriculum. I do contest the numbers now around how much time it takes to develop content because I just switched over to Claude from OpenAI ChatGPT.
Me too.
And found that even more liberating, but Gemini crushes it. And I've been able to construct it. Like my teams now are playing around a lot with Notebook LM just to quickly assemble and build a model and then work with that and validate it. It's so exciting right now. So all I could say is folks lean in, check out Brainstorm for sure. And connect with Ashley. You're on LinkedIn like everybody else. Is there any other calls to action you'd have for our audience as we You talked about Good Sacred. You talked about like the platform itself, challenges with leadership and how you break through them, a methodology. There's a lot in here. Anything else you want to bring up before we walk out the door?
One thing is definitely by Kathy Moore's book, Map It. It is, I think, pretty bulky, 500 pages, but it is a great, it's one of the best, it is the best framework for me that I've seen. And it's also going to allow you to become basically a content strategist, because now our GTM enablement team, like this is kind of a strategy that we use across GTM with marketing and sales, and you can use it for, to solve any problem. It doesn't even have to be for training. So that's one thing that I would recommend. Also, would definitely recommend either getting a demo from Brainstorm or reach out to me on LinkedIn, connect with me. I will be happy to jump on a call with anyone and give you a demo of QuickBase University, show you the ROI that I've seen out of it, and how happy my company is with it, how happy our customers are, and how we're even using it for internal enablement as well.
Amazing. Well, okay. Thank you so much. This has been, I've learned a lot out of this too. I appreciate you and the value.
Well, I always learn from you for years. So
that's what we're here for. If we're working right now very intentionally, or at least I'm doing this very intentionally. We want to learn more and grow together as a community of practice. And I lean away from saying community per se, but this is good content, and I appreciate you taking the time to share with all of us what you're doing. And we'll give props to Casey and Todd out at Brainstorm. I love working with these guys. Got to see them in Utah last month and actually hang out in person over some breakfast. And okay, again, thank you so much. Folks, reach out to Ashley, reach out to Brainstorm. And if you want to learn more, we always have our podcast website at customer.education. You can find all our goodies there. You'll always find us on LinkedIn. As we always say, again, Alan Coda made our music for C-Lab. We love it. Thank you so much for that. And if this kind of work helps you out, you can always help us out by subscribing to our show on all the podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, your podcatcher of choice. Leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, because that's been growing for the years, and that really helps us out. And also, I'll mention that we're always looking for, thanks, Ashley, folks like you to come on and share your experiences and talk about the good stuff you're doing. Because a lot of us get hidden behind hard work and we don't have time to talk about it. This is your chance. And you just went to FEDMA, and we're glad you had an opportunity to speak there too. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Cheers, everyone.